This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to the Deceptively Fast Podcast. I am Seth Payne. I played in the NFL for 10 years. I am joined frequently by my friend Drew Hodgson, who also played in the NFL. I was a nose tackle. He was a center. We practiced against each other, and now we just have a conversation. We split it up probably pretty evenly, half football, half other stuff. Today is an other stuff type of episode. I saw an article about a female orgasm cult. Naturally, I clicked on it. We had to discuss this. If you'd like to leave a five-star review, I would be very, very grateful. And if you'd like to subscribe, I would be equally grateful. If you did both of those things, I will be your friend forever. That's a promise, damn it. All right, Drew, this is important stuff. I saw this headline about this female orgasm cult that was being investigated. I thought, I'll click on this. Plus, they did that thing where they, you know, they attached Gwyneth Paltrow's name to it, and they attached Khloe Kardashian's name to it, making it seem like maybe they were somehow involved in this cult or something. It wasn't that. I'm going to give that disclaimer off up front. I'm not dirty and sneaky like the Telegraph of the UK. Fair?
I agree. Yeah, okay. Fair. Yeah, I didn't know if I was supposed to chime in there and argue with you about being dirty and sneaky or not.
No, we're gonna try to give a synopsis of this female orgasm cult. You know what? Alleged cult in the next in like 10 minutes. Last time we tried to do something in 10 or 15 minutes, we ended up doing 2.5 hours on Deshaun Watson. So, in 2011. I'll start where this article starts.
Yeah, start at the beginning.
This woman, I'm actually starting in the middle. Like a Hollywood movie, we're going to start at the middle, then go back to the beginning, and then forward to the present without ever telling the viewer or the listener exactly what's going on.
Yeah, leap to the climax.
Nicole Dadone gave a TEDx talk in San Francisco in which she spoke of her plans to build an empire on the female orgasm. And how all this started was, and this is where we jump back, she says that back in 1998, so in the TED Talk in 2011, she's describing how in 1998, she met a man who practiced what he called contemplative sexuality. And then without really much of an explanation for why she agreed to it, she ended up allowing this guy to take her pants off and then manipulate her clitoris. That's right. Your dog knows.
He's very responsive to anytime he's. You know what's weird is that I got him trained, so anytime he hears clitoris, he just goes bananas.
She didn't really explain how he talked her into this, other than to say he asked her to take her pants off, and he'd show her how an orgasm's done right. So right. He invited her to lie down unclothed, and then he shone a flashlight on her vagina. And proceeded to, I'm reading from the article now, describe her colors
imagery.
In some detail. It's classy, see, because it's colors is spelled with a U because this is a British publication.
Right, yeah. It's the royal.
So he told her, now in my mind, this guy's a French guy. So he told her, your outer labia are coral. He then stroked her clitoris no firmer than you would stroke your eyelid. And then she basically says she broke down and the feeling was pure and clean. She broke open. And she would tell this story thousands upon thousands of times, she would say, as she decided, because she described herself as a philanthropist. She said, in her philanthropic way, I want everyone else to know how to live here. So in 2004, so this is 6 years after she'd met the mysterious orgasm man, she founded a group called One Taste, which started the practice of what she called orgasmic meditation, or OM. Okay.
Right. Yeah. There's going to be a lot. This is what I learned reading this article. There's going to be a lot of abbreviations and acronyms that are going to get like super obnoxious as you're going through it. Like, yeah, they OM the GM.
Yeah.
And then you got to go down to the, and I'm just like, come on, man, it's too many. But I got to this part and I was still hung up on, I felt like if I was so prolific in bed that I launched a multi-million dollar venture.
Yeah.
That I would, I mean, this guy, I wouldn't mind getting my name maybe floated out there. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, no. Okay. Well, that's a really good point, because when she's told the story at various times, you know, I guess sometimes, right. Sometimes the guy's just a guy at a party. Sometimes it's a monk. Sometimes it's a cute guy who delivered the best pickup line I'd ever heard, all of that stuff. So she's got a pretty slick presentation.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That was one of the most relatable details of it, is like any great story anybody ever has. Aren't there always like there's some variation in there.
Yeah.
It's like, it says subject to variation. Yeah. Sometimes he's a Buddhist monk.
Well, she's in San Francisco. So she's constantly A/B testing. So, One Taste, at one point at its peak, One Taste was reported to be making $12 million a year. It had centers in 9 cities, including New York, San Francisco, and London. And here it is. Let's see. It was endorsed by no less a personage than the high priestess of the vagina, Gwyneth Paltrow. Were you aware that Gwyneth Paltrow did so much vagina stuff? She's like a corporate vagina monologue.
Yeah, I remember there being one headline that kind of captured my interest. It hit my hit my radar, my vagina radar, when she, through Goop, I think it was recommending, or I guess like promoting a jade egg. Do you remember this?
Is that there's like a jade?
Well, it was literally like a I'm gonna say it's the crystals of the vaginal health.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And you were supposed to put this jade egg inside you.
Oh, okay. It's kind of stuff science doesn't want you to know about, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it helps with, you know, ambiguous things like toxins and energies.
Oh,
you know?
Man.
And I think
more importantly,
she got herself into some hot water, I think.
You can literally birth a jade after that, or lay a jade egg.
Exactly.
It's like an egg.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
It's like a Midas touch thing, but it's jade and it's not real.
So this is where the scandal comes in. The organization has now shut down following accusations by former members of the group, with the FBI reportedly investigating allegations of sex trafficking, prostitution, and violation of labor laws. So this is where it gets interesting, because I watched the TED Talk. And it was like, it makes sense. She talks a lot about how, you know, a lot of women are repressed, or they don't feel sexual joy. And she thinks it's going to be revolutionary if more women get more comfortable talking about the female orgasm and learning how to, you know, learning how to address their needs and everything. But we'll get into this whole process so that the mysterious stranger did to her, which is what she basically replicated with thousands of people. In 1998, Daydone joined a group called the Welcomed Consensus. So this was right after her orgasmic experience with a mysterious stranger. These are researchers of deliberate orgasm, friendship, sensuality, and living pleasurably. So basically, they look like any of these other kind of, like a commune type of thing.
Like a Hare Krishna kind of situation.
Yeah. And the guy, you wanted a guy that could get his name out there for credit. The original one of these was called Lafayette Morehouse, which had been founded in the 1960s by a man named Victor Barranco. So Victor Barranco was the first guy to approach women at parties. And it was easier in the 60s.
Great party trick. Yeah, he really was. He was a man of his era.
Yeah. So Barranco devised a technique called deliberate orgasm, or I guess, is it D-O-ing? Doing? D-O-ing?
I think it's supposed to be D-O-ing.
Yeah, this is kind of, I'm going to be honest with the listener here. I'm not so convinced of the journalistic integrity of this. I feel like there was one woman that really wanted to write about the female orgasm for some reason, and also scandalize it. Like maybe she'd been burned by one of these seminars you're about to hear about.
Yeah.
But this is the important thing, is that.
It's just a personal grudge. Like the journalist is just like, yeah, I think we all know that a lot of men struggle to give women orgasms, Todd. I think we all know that. I think women for decades have struggled with that, like some of my ex-boyfriends personally.
So Perenco devised this technique called DOing, in which a woman would undress from the waist down and a man would stroke her clitoris. In exchange, the strokee... Oh, see, this is the strokey.
That's not real.
Would give the stroker a token or a small gift. It was reported that in 1976, a commune member named Diana claimed she was able to sustain a continuous orgasm for 3 hours. See, I think this part about the strokey giving a gift was lost.
It is lost. They don't go back. I kept waiting on, because I was trying to understand, is the implication that, you know, like, is there scale for a 3 hour one? Like, what am I getting?
I guess it would have to be a small token, because otherwise that would venture into prostitution, right?
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, they're paying you for their DOing.
Yeah.
It's also, man, I really wish they had gotten back to that, because it'd be the kind of stuff you can really just like swag, you can put on your bookshelf.
So this is what she created, a technique that she called orgasmic meditation. A woman lies down in a nest of pillows. That's her term, a nest. And then she butterflies her legs, which I guess is a more elegant way of saying she just, you know, spreads them out. She spreads out. Oh, draping one leg over the knee of the man who is fully clothed and seated beside her. In my mind, he's wearing an ascot. So... So then,
absolutely, gold buttons on his jacket.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. Perhaps a cigarette with a cigarette holder. Very much.
So, yeah, like the penguin from the Adam West years.
Yes,
got it.
Yes. Okay. So and then this is crucially sets a timer for 15 minutes. And then this is where it gets creepy and weird. He wears latex gloves smeared with lubricant. Now I guess that's great if he's not the guy you came with. If he's not your partner. It's my impression that this was kind of a free love type scenario where maybe you brought a guy with you, but maybe you just used one of the experts.
They didn't fully clarify, right? Like, it's not like, is this like you're in a room and it's two people, or is this kind of like a, you know, you're sort of out in the open? Because it feels, I mean, this to me, I can't think of anything maybe less sexy than like holding on while I snap on some latex gloves and then just like put a dollop of KY on my hand. It just
like, it would feel like a gynecologist appointment, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was like every time I've ever gotten a prostate exam, you know, that's not it starts with a pair of latex gloves snapping.
Yeah. Yeah. First you kiss on the mouth and then you put the gloves on.
But this is key. There's no kissing here. The guy is completely focused on the woman's clitoris, as is she.
Right.
And that's where this Daydone character points out very eloquently in her speech, I might add. Her speech sold me on it. The article did not. But that you have these two people focused on this very small and sensitive area. So he then strokes the upper left quadrant of the clitoris from her perspective, Drew. Not your left, her left. Come on, it's about
her. Got it.
Get your mind right.
Stage right.
So they started this community, and it grew to about 50 men and women, mostly in their late 20s and early 30s. And they would OM, orgasmically meditate, two or three times a day with various research partners. And that's the key. You call it a research partner.
Exactly. I was going to say. It's all about the terminology.
Yes, the research.
It's like when you're trying to expense stuff on your taxes.
It's like a hot oil like massage.
This is a work meeting.
You know, except I don't think women are paying for this either, though. Except this is where the money comes in. Okay, yeah. So this is the catch, because
they are paying for it at this point, right?
Not necessarily. I don't think. Oh yeah. Because I'll tell you what it is. Now, for one, very important. I don't think they're paying the guy to stroke them off. That's
no.
They're just so
they're paying a fee to one taste.org. By the way, I can't believe that's credit to her ability to captivate people, because that is a horrible business name. Does that not that I was every sounds, time I read it, I just felt uncomfortable.
It sounds creepy. Like for something that you're trying to pass off as like in
legitimate.
And she uses a lot of Eastern philosophy, and she's trying to make it sound like you're going to be one with the universe with this. And it, but then at the same time, you're like, come and get a taste. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay. An introductory workshop costs $195. That actually seems reasonable, right? Now, they do, you asked earlier, I believe there isn't at least one scenario. Everybody's like in a room in a group doing this.
Right.
Like everybody's splayed out on their own nests and whatnot. So like a Lamaze class, an extremely erotic Lamaze class, mm-hmm. where the guy's focused on the woman. Okay, so $195 for an introductory workshop. There was a week-long urban monk program for $2,000. And then you could train to become a certified coach for $16,000. There were how-to DVDs, one-stroke lubricant, and OM pillow sets to build nests. Now, this is where I'm still, like, at this point in the article, this all sounds like, okay, she's definitely profiting on this, obviously. But I don't, becoming a coach for $16,000, that's a business investment if you're going to get a return on your investment, right? It's like becoming a CrossFit instructor or something.
Yeah, that sounds to me. I mean, that reads like a. Are you now like a franchisee? Like, how are you recouping $16,000?
Yeah, I think you'd have to. You'd have to be. You'd be allowed to run seminars then,
right?
Yeah. I mean, that's like what CrossFit does, right? I mean, you got to pay a certain amount. I don't think it's as exorbitant as that. But then you for CrossFit at least a couple of years ago. I looked into it. It was You don't pay like a percentage of your revenue the way you do with most franchises. You pay just a flat fee per year.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just like a flat fee to use the license basically, right? So you can like market it. Yeah. I mean, I guess that, you know, plus you have all the perks of also just constantly masturbating strangers all day. Just,
I know, like, except this is key. The men don't, at least on site, get anything out of that. You know,
right.
Like it's all about just wham, bam. Thank you, sir. So, there's this guy, Ken Blackman, who shows up a couple of times. He was the Stravinsky of stroking, apparently.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Just an incredible nickname.
But he says that a man would learn to enjoy OMing, not vicariously, but for the pleasure he's giving her, and not for the side benefits, many though they may be. So I think they're...
Which are?
I think a lot of times, obviously, like I would think that in a certain number of women, when you're they're very strict. He said, this is where it was interesting, and the article does not go into enough of like the actual scandalous stuff, because he said that at the beginning, they were very strict about nothing happening on site. And then that's it. They leave it like, okay, well, what did it? Did they get sloppier about that? Yeah. And this was important too. He said because they were in San Francisco, it said it resonated particularly deeply with techies. Silicon Valley was a really great place to market because we could talk in terms of having a new operating system for human connection. So this, you know, they're always obsessed with hacking stuff out there, and there's no way that they have to try to.
I hated that part of the article. I was just kind of like, I'm like. Or these guys are just like easy marks who just like want to be able to like learn how to touch chicks.
Or they're computer,
like, what are we doing here?
They're really computer smart dorks. Computer dudes. They're making more. They're making a lot of money, but they're still kind of awkward with women.
Exactly.
So your mark is the right word.
I hate to paint a broad brush here, but like they're coming in a lot of money probably after the fact, and now they're getting to use it to join like a weird, creepy sex cult, and that's what's happening.
Well, and that's where it got interesting, and. When it started to maybe step over that line into like, okay, we're making some money off of this into something else. And it was basically it got very sales driven. It was the salespeople started.
It just reads like it's turning into just kind of your general sales organization.
Yeah, that's okay. So by 2017, One Taste had become a flourishing business. The company had 150 staff members, including salespeople, promoting a variety of different courses, including retreats and coaching programs costing up to $60,000 a year. The Nicole Dadone Intensive, offering personal tuition in stroking by Dadone herself. It must be personal tutelage in stroking by Dadone herself. Again, kind of weirdly written article. That cost him $36,000.
Yeah. And it's the exercise of obnosing, which was another term that just, like, you know, makes you want to break a computer.
But it says that former members described how sales staff working on commission, sometimes 7 days a week, would spend hours texting and calling people who had attended One Taste events, pressuring them to sign up for the next more expensive class. I'm always curious when it's described as, like, salespeople being driven to make calls and everything. Like, okay, well, that's what salespeople do when they have a commission.
That's literally just the job of sales. Yeah. That's why these are the portions that I was reading where it's sort of like they're framing the premise is framed like all the cults that you're used to reading about. Like if you've seen, like, Going Clear and you're reading about Scientology,
are they separating? Kind of like you're waiting for them to, like, are they separating these people from their families or anything? And I'm not
exactly. I'm trying to see, like, where the deep manipulation and the force gets into, and kind of what you're really reading after it starts out with human trafficking, sexual assault, being forced to do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Is really just them kind of saying, like, they were forced to work 7 days a week. It's by whom?
By the sales
staff.
It's
the job. Right. You can quit whenever you want. You're not forced to do anything. I mean, it's the sales job.
Now, this is the part that gets sketchy, and you'd have
Carpal
to wonder.
Carpal tunnel, maybe.
Are they? Well, okay. I didn't see any allegations of abuse by the male practitioners. That's what I expected was at some point. Yeah. Okay. That's the obvious potential for abuse right there. And there's got to, like, honestly, like, in anything like this, because, I mean, it happens with large companies that do massage. There's got to be at least a few complaints, you know, that somebody went too far. And unless I missed it, I didn't see it in this article. Oh, okay. Oh, this is where it got creepy. I forgot. Yep. Okay.
The best part.
That's why I highlighted it in green. Okay. The Bloomberg investigation. Bloomberg did an investigation of these.
That's right.
They revealed that in 2015, One Taste had paid a $325,000 out-of-court settlement to a former staff member who said she'd been ordered to sleep with prospective male customers and suffered sexual assault and harassment, as well as other labor violations on the job. The actual sales staff, they were encouraged to go out and sleep with guys, flirt with guys, promise more, coerced into having sex with wealthy men to entice them to take courses, including one allegation of a young woman being forced into having sex with multiple partners.
Well, that's why up until that point in the article, when you're in, like, the 2011 range, it's not reading like anything that salacious.
Yeah.
And then you get into this Bloomberg investigation and the $325 out of court settlement. I mean, it's obviously if you're being ordered to sleep with someone.
So, okay. So that's when everything gets blown up and they shut down. There's still a website. So I watched her TED Talk. And like I said, everything she said in the TED Talk seemed to make a lot of sense. And a lot of women, like, obviously you can try this for free and there's all kinds of information out there. It's like with a lot of these things, it's not like she actually invented these techniques, but she popularized it and was really successful with the business model. So that part of it I was okay with. And I feel like she has an important message that needs to get out there and that Drew needs to go find one of these places and maybe either experiment with it or start your own orgasm hut.
I've kind of had my own orgasm hut since like 2012 probably.
Oh, yeah?
I've been mostly single since then, so that's kind of been that was a joke about me just dating. Well,
that's what one thing that she says in here, and you see this a lot, is people say, well, nobody talks about the female orgasm. And I'm not sitting here trying to be like the guy that says, hey, you know, guys are the ones that get screwed over, because we don't at all. But I do think that we don't actually talk about the male orgasm hardly at all, other than that, like, there I had one. And versus women, because I think it's harder to come by. It actually does get discussed quite a bit.
I mean, I do just think in general, the bar is pretty low.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the part where it's not a coincidence that her business really just, like, took off. Like, she found a huge market for women that were just tired of getting no satisfaction from dudes. So that tracks, that totally tracks. Like, anytime Like, you know, I've gotten into any relationship, it's always just kind of like, oh yeah, usually like they just don't even do anything. It's 5 seconds and you're like, wow, that is such a low bar. It really doesn't take much.
That 15 minutes of having somebody completely and totally focused on you with no, and in a lot of ways that formal environment might make it even more releasing because there's no chance for him to turn it into anything else. So it is mostly, it is all about you. And then the other thing that happens with women, a lot of times is because there's so much pressure for them to perform and act a certain way that they don't take the time to like actually, I don't want to say demand, but you know, like kind of ask or direct or what have you, or the guy isn't willing to, or they're not comfortable doing it where this,
it's not a setting where they feel like they can communicate what they actually might want or what feels good, or they feel like they're having to cater to the man's ego, protect his ego relentlessly, which I think is probably a thing. I mean, not mine, but other people's.
This is, if I were going to be taken advantage of by a cult, I feel like this is the one that makes the most sense to get taken advantage of by. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah, like, this isn't, I don't have to wait until I die for this one to pay off. I don't have to drink a bunch of Kool-Aid out in Guyana. It seems like a pretty quick tit for tat.
Yeah, the comparisons, like, when I'm looking at the other ones, you know, where Heaven's Gate, and they're like, castrating themselves and then committing suicide. I just feel like easy decision. Like I'm probably like easy to say, like this is one every single cult story that I like went down the rabbit hole, especially during COVID, where I'm just like, you know, taking the deep dive into all the cult content that you can get. There's a lot of podcasts out there about it and you're going into them. And the common denominator every time is you're just thinking like, these people are idiots.
Yeah.
How do you get roped into this? You know, it's attrition. It happens slow. But like, this is one where I could wander in off the street trying to help myself out, get certified. You know,
this really feels almost more like a pyramid scheme. It seems like the people, at least the people that financially were being taken advantage of were more, it seems like they were trying to learn how to become instructors or get better at it. But it wasn't this all encompassing cult type thing.
It's one of those things where the revenue is being driven by the people trying to be certified versus actually customers.
Right.
Who are paying like a consistent fee, or like, it seems much more like you're marking people that you're selling them on your, you know, ability to train them to make money.
There's one, I've seen some scrutiny or skepticism over Don Yoga. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those franchises, but my wife, Brandy, used to go to one of those and she liked it a lot. And it wasn't, to her, I mean, she knew that seminars were available and everything, but to her, it never seemed like there was a whole lot of pressure for her to take them or anything. But I wonder similarly, I mean, it's yoga, it's healthy, it's a lot of Eastern philosophy, which is great for you if you get into it. So they're profiting off of it.
Is it now? Has it kind of been outed as a nefarious cult? Is that what's going on with that?
I don't think it was.
Or like a multi-level marketing situation?
I think it was just that they felt like, you know what it is? With things like this, especially when they package it with Eastern philosophy, like if you're selling meditation retreats or if you're selling yoga or if you're selling orgasmic meditation, when the companies violate something, you know, like overly pressurized sales technique, kind of like a timeshare, except because it's packaged in Eastern philosophy, I think the knee-jerk reaction is, oh, you must be some kind of cult. You know, like you think that you're, it feels like Scientology, or it feels like a wacko Christian or Mormon cult or something.
Well, it just seems so clear to me that what they've done is take the same model that you see with like a lot of the mega churches.
Yeah.
I mean, the same thing that you see just happening in the money making Christian institutions in the US. And they just took that, they made it non-denominational and then marketed it and branded it as something that seems exotic and more interesting or trendy.
Yeah.
And they just use the same manipulation and the same branding and the same way to rope people in. So
I think that the general story would be, okay, A, don't have your salespeople have sex with the clients as a way to entice them. Lesson forever. Yeah. You don't learn that at Wharton. B,
you learn that on the streets.
B would be that as long as you, like the churches, keep it to like 10% of gross income. As long as you just keep it to 10% of growth, like basically tithe. Just be sure people are tithing.
Is that actually the number?
10%. Yeah. If you tithe the way you're supposed to tithe, it's 10%. That's why some of the people that focus on athletes are, I take a wide path around those people when they focus on professional athletes.
And
they convince them that they need to be donating 10% to their church or what have you.
Yeah. Tax free.
I mean, nice. If you're incredibly devout and that's what you do is 10%, then so be it. But that would be the difference. I don't think the Catholic Church or like any other church is necessarily out there saying, hey, borrow on your credit card to give that 10%. Whereas these, some of these sales tactics were like super high pressure. Just, yeah, it's for your, think about how much better you'll be at the end of all this.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think, like, if she, because she didn't end up really getting in trouble, right? Like, she's not in jail. It just says that she ended up disappearing, right? And they still don't know. So it doesn't read to me like she, I mean, unless they're presuming that she literally fled, but it doesn't sound to me like
she's not. It doesn't sound like she's wanted or anything like that. So I think this is maybe closer to than, I think that they saw the ability to attach Gwyneth Paltrow's name to this, like, by. Yeah. The she's most of, minimal yeah. of
I mean, after the J Dag, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of those things though, when you're reading it and it reminds me of like, did you watch Tiger King?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like when you're diving into the world of all these animal, these like off brand zoos and like tiger trainers and animal trainers and everyone else, you're just realizing that like, there's a hierarchy of who is the most dysfunctional and broken among them. No doubt. Like the people at the top should probably be locked up, but there's no one in that hierarchy that is just not crazy at all. So like when you're going through this and you're seeing the allegations and everything else, it's just like a hornet's nest of everybody in this is kind of a wacko to me.
Yeah. So
I mean, no one in here is. So it's like, you know, someone was accusing someone of something unseemly, but it's kind of like, how did you even get in that spot?
But I think the major lesson I learned is that there's probably some to this philosophy, something to it that's interesting and when worth learning. At the very least, the techniques, you can try them on your lady friend.
Fair.
So anybody listening, just Google Nicole Dadone, Daedone. Nicole Dadone, and follow the rabbit hole where it leads you, and maybe it'll lead you to true love.
Yeah, it's good. Or spiritual enlightenment, etc.